Perek Asiri, 10th chapter, Halacha Aleph, first ruling. Ben Noach, a Noahite, the Shogak, who inadvertently violated Ba'achas Mitzvah, one of his commandments. He violated one of the precepts of the Noahite code, but not intentionally, but accidentally. Then Toto Miklum, he is exempt of everything. In other words, he is not subject, he is not liable to any penalty whatsoever. Chutz, except for the case, Meratzeach Bishgogo, of one who has killed another Noahite accidentally. In a case like that, Im Harogo Goyel Hadom, if the avenger of the blood, a close relative of the victim, has killed the one who has committed manslaughter, Eino Nerak Olof, then this avenger of the blood will not be put to death over it. In other words, the avenger of the blood would not be committing murder, notwithstanding the fact that the one who had killed his relative did so accidentally. He still is liable to the danger of being exposed to the revenge of the avenger of the blood. Veinlo ir miklot, and the one who has committed this accidental death, the manslaughter, he does not have a city of refuge where he could escape to save himself from the hand of the avenger of the blood. Here is another difference between Jewish law and the laws relating to Gentiles. In Jewish law, to kill somebody accidentally would also expose the one who committed manslaughter to the revenge of the Goyel Adam, the avenger of the blood. But if he would escape to the Ore Miklot, the cities of refuge, as described in the Torah, then the avenger of the blood is not allowed to touch him. If he should still kill him, then the avenger of the blood would be guilty of a capital offense, namely of murder. But this applies only within Jewish law relative to Jews. In non-Jewish law, with regard to the Noahide code, with regard to Gentiles, there is no such thing as an Ir Miklot, a city of refuge. So wherever the Goyel Adam, the avenger of the blood, would be able to find and catch the one who committed manslaughter, he is allowed to avenge his relative. Our bote dineim, but their courts, ein memisinoisoi, they do not have a right to put the one who committed manslaughter to death. So that even the rotzeach bishkora, the one who killed another Noahite by accident, is liable only to the revenge of the Goel Adam, but no court can condemn him for his action. Now, Bameit Bor Memurim, when is this said, that a Noahite is exempt of all punishments for an accidental act? The Shogak Ba'achas Min Mitzvah, when he accidentally transgressed one of the commandments of the Noahite code, and V'ova V'loi Kavona, he transgressed, he violated this without any intent. In other words, completely in error. What does that mean? Kegoin, for example, Shabual Eishes Chaveroi, he cohabited with another man's wife, V'dimo, and he thought, he imagined at the time, Shehi Ishtoi, that woman was his own wife, Oy Pnuyo, or an unmarried woman. In other words, he did not realize that was a married woman. Avalim Yoda, but if he did know, Shehi Eishes Chaveroi, that she is another man's wife. Velo Yoda, she Asur Olof, but he did not know that she is prohibited unto him. Elo Olo Liboi, but he thought in his mind, Shedovo Se Mutoloi, that to cohabit with her is permissible to him. In other words, he realized that she is a married woman, but he did not realize that there is a prohibition of adultery. V'chein, or likewise, im horak, if he killed another Noahite, v'ulo yodash osu laharoik, and he did not know that it is forbidden to kill, to murder. He was fully aware of the action that he is undertaking. He was just ignorant of the law itself. Then hareze koros lemezit, then we regard this as being akin to a deliberate offense, when Nerok, and he is put to death. Veloite choshev zu lohem shkogo, and this is not accounted to them as an inadvertent act, Because he has a duty, it is incumbent upon him to learn, to familiarize himself with his obligations, and he did not learn, he failed to do so. In other words, what Rambam is saying here, it is the principle that ignorance of the law is no excuse. When we do speak about an inadvertent act which would exempt him of all penalties, is where he did not realize that he was committing the act itself. Like in the example which Rambam gave, he did not realize that that was a married woman. Or he did not realize that he killed somebody. But if he was aware of the act of cohabiting, or of the act of killing, and just was unaware, was ignorant of the law itself, that this is prohibited, that this is not permitted, then he would be guilty and is subject to a penalty. Halacha Beis. Ben Noyach, a Noachite, she'anosoi anos, who was forced by a man of violence, lover to violate al-achas mimitzvoisof, any one of the precepts incumbent upon him, mutoloi lavoy, he is permitted to transgress. Afilu nenas lavoy tavedezor, even if he was forced to worship idolatry, oivet, he is permitted to worship. Lefi she'enom mitzuvin al kiddush Hashem, for Noachites are not commanded, they are not enjoined to lay down their lives for the sanctification of God's name. Now what the Rambam is saying here is another difference between a Jew and a Noachite. A Jew, if he is forced by someone to violate the Torah, to violate any one of the mitzvahs, of the commandments, then the general rule is that he should violate the Torah and not have himself be killed, except for three things, except for three precepts, for idolatry, adultery, and murder. If someone were to force a Jew under threat of killing him to worship idolatry or to commit a forbidden sexual act or to murder another one, he should rather lay down his own life than violate any one of these three precepts. This is called Yehorek Val Yavor, who should rather be killed than violate the precept of the Torah. This is also called the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, to lay down your life for the sanctification of God's name. But this applies only to a Jew. A Noachite is not obliged to do likewise. A Noachite is permitted to save his life at all costs, even if it means to violate any of these precepts which are incumbent upon him by virtue of the Noachite code. Uloilom ein oishin mehem, of the Noachites, we will never punish, exact punishment, like cotton, neither a minor, nor a deaf mute, nor an imbecile, nor somebody who is insane, not fully normal. Lefish einom bnei mitzvah, because these are not bound to observe precepts. They cannot be held responsible for their actions, and this then applies not only with regards to Jewish people, that minors, deaf mutes and insane people are exempt from the law and are not punishable. This applies to the Noachites as well. Halacha Gimel. Ben Noach, a Noachite, Shenizgaya, who converted to Judaism, Umol, and thus had himself circumcised, the Toval, and he immersed himself in a mikveh, in a ritual pool, for purposes of conversion. And thereafter, at a later stage, he wants to revert away from God, to be merely a resident alien, as he was before he converted. In other words, he changed his mind. After his conversion, he wants to go back to his former status of being a Gentile who is enjoined both by the Noahide code and not by the whole Torah to be a Ger Toshav. Then ain't shining light. We do not listen to him. We do not consider and regard his wish. Eloyeh ki Yisrael, but he shall be and remain like a Jew. His conversion was legitimate. He had accepted that of his own volition, and therefore he is stuck with it. The whole door with regards to everything, in every respect. So if once he is a Jew, then he can no longer revert back to former practices which are forbidden to a Jew. If, however, for whatever reasons he should persist to do so anyway, or Yehoreg, then the alternative is that he is put to death. Because then he would be regarded as a Meshumet, as a Mummer, a Jew who has become an apostate, who is denying his faith, and guilty of capital offenses. But Bemhoyo Kotten, but if he was a minor, Keshit Bilu Basin, when the Jewish court immersed him for purposes of conversion, as we learned earlier, conversion must be a voluntary act. The only way where it is beyond the explicit wishes of the convert is when he was a minor, he or she was a minor. Then they can still be converted to Judaism on the authority of the Beis Din. However, there is a provision, there is a condition there, that if he was converted from being a minor, and this law would apply nowadays as well with regards to non-Jewish children that are adopted, that then Yochel Lemachois, that minor, has the option to protest and reject the conversion, the Shor Shiyatil, the moment that the minor has reached the status of maturity. The ones they have reached, in the case of a girl, the age of 12, in the case of a boy, the age of 13, then those who have been converted when they were minors, when they were infants or children, have the option to reject their Jewishness, their Jewish identity, and to say that they do not wish to be Jewish and to revert back to their former status of being a Gentile, of being a Noahite. The year Ger Toshov the word, and then to be just merely like a Ger Toshov, a resident alien, obliged and enjoined by the Noahite code, the seven precepts alone. But the Kiven Shiloi Micho Beshatai, if however this minor convert, upon reaching maturity, did not protest at that time, at that moment of reaching maturity, his Jewish status, his conversion to Judaism, Shuf Eino Moiche, he can no longer protest thereafter. Elohare hu Ger Tzedek, but he is and remains a Ger Tzedek, a righteous convert, a proper convert to Judaism. In other words, the opportunity to have a change of mind is given only at the time of reaching maturity, the moment that he becomes responsible for his actions, for his behavior, and if at that time he has accepted, either explicitly or by silent consent, his Jewish status, then he remains a Jew for the rest of his life. Lefichoch, therefore, imbo Yisroel oktano, if a Jewish male cohabited with a minor female, she biluho beisdin, who had been immersed in a ritual pool for purposes of conversion by the court, and he cohabited with her in one of three ways, which would bring about a monetary obligation on his part, namely marriage, or seduction, or rape, then kesef ksuboso, the money that he has to pay her because of the marriage contract, or knas oines, or the fine that he would have to pay her for having violated her, or mefate, or the fine that he would have to pay her for having seduced her, Yehakel Tachas Yad Beis Din, all or any of these funds are placed in the court, are deposited with the court, Achipagdil, until the moment that she reaches maturity, when we will see whether or not she consents to the conversion to which she was subjected when she was a minor, Veloy Timche de Geirus, and if she will not protest her conversion, then the court gives those funds to her, and they are her property. Why do we not give her these funds prior to her reaching the maturity, prior to her confirming a status of conversion or not? Shemo titoil, because you're afraid, maybe she will take this money, the tachdil, and she will reach maturity, the timche, and she may protest the conversion, and therefore revert back to a status of being merely a Ger Toshav, like a resident alien, a Gentile, but not a Jewess. Benimteis zu achelas begayuso, and this would mean, practically speaking, that she is benefiting in her state of non-Jewishness, of being a Gentile, mois of money, she'enos husband, to which she is not entitled. Elo bedinei soil. She is entitled to these funds only if she had been Jewish. Only by the laws of Israel relating to a relationship between a Jew and a Jewess. So therefore we have to wait in such a case until she reaches maturity, because that moment will determine whether or not she, her conversion was valid retroactively, whether she remains a Jewess or not. Halacha Dalet. Ben Noach, a Noachite, Sheberech es Hashem, who cursed the divine name, in other words, he blasphemed God, or Shobat Avodah Zarah, or he worshipped idolatry, or Sheboal Eishes Chaveroi, or he committed adultery with the wife of another Noachite, or Shehorat Chaveroi, or he murdered another Noachite, and all these, obviously, are capital offenses, for which he incurred the death penalty to be put to death by the sword. But before sentence can be carried out, when he's Gaia, he converted to Judaism. Potter, then he is exempt from punishment. Now, what does that mean that he is exempt? It does not mean that the act of conversion will atone for the sin that he has committed. But we have here a legal dilemma. When the offense was committed, the offender was a Noachite, and therefore subject to a different judicial process than a Jew. Now that he is put on trial, he is a Jew. The differences, the judicial differences, between the status of a Noachite and of a Jew are the following. For one thing, we learned in the preceding chapter that Noachites can be condemned to death and executed on the testimony of just one witness, by just one judge, and the judge or the witnesses could be relatives. A Noachite need not have been warned about the consequences of his actions before he commits the offense. And a Noachite, when he is executed, there is but one form of execution for him, namely to be put to death by means of the sword. In the case of a Jew, however, number one, a Jew must be forewarned about the consequences of his action before he commits the offense. There must be at least two witnesses. There must be a court of 23 judges, the Sanhedrin Ktanah, a small Sanhedrin for capital offenses. And a Jew is liable to different kinds of executions. There is stoning, there is burning, there is beheading through the sword, or there is strangulation. Now, in the case of these offenses, blasphemy and idolatry are capital offenses for both Jew and Gentile alike. But a Jew would be culpable of the most serious form of execution, namely stoning, while a Noachite would be put to death by the less severe execution of the sword, beheading by the sword. So there is here a difference in penalty. Moreover, a Noachite is guilty of adultery as a capital offense if he has relations with the wife of another Noachite. For a Jew to have relations with the wife of a Noachite would not be a capital offense. Thus, in this case, where the Noachite has committed these offenses, as a Noachite he should be getting the death penalty by the sword for all of these, and only he would be guilty for committing adultery with the wife of another Noachite. Once he has come into the status of a Jew, he would have been guilty for blasphemy and idolatry by stoning, and for the adultery with the wife of a Noachite, he would not be guilty of a capital offense. Because we now have the legal dilemma, what sentence can be given? The person who is here now before the court is a Jew, the convert, and he has not committed the offense as a Jew. The one who committed the offense was a Noachite, but he is no longer before us. That Noachite no longer exists, insofar that he has now come into a different status. They cannot condemn the Jew to a punishment worse than he would have gotten for committing the offense as a Jew. Likewise, they cannot condemn the Noahite to a punishment worse than the one that he would have been guilty of having committed an offense as a Noahite. And so we have here this dilemma, and therefore he is potter, he is exempt from a penalty. However, if it was a case that Horeb ben Yisrael, that the Noahite murdered a Jew, or Shebol Eishes Yisrael, or committed adultery with a Jewess, the wife of a Jew, and then when his Gaiah he converted to Judaism, Chayof, he is guilty, he will be put to death. Bohegin Oisoy al Ben Yisrael, he will be put to death by the sword for having murdered a Jew. Behointin Oisoy al Eishes Yisrael Shaboal, and he will be put to death by means of strangulation for having committed adultery with a Jewess, the wife of a Jew. Shaharin Ishtano, you know, because his status, his legal status has changed, and therefore, for the case of adultery with a Jewess, he is put to death by strangulation, which is the form of execution to which a Jew would be subject for this particular offense. Now, why is the second case of having murdered a Jew or committed adultery with a Jewish married woman different, that there he remains guilty? Because for these two offenses, he would have been guilty of a capital offense regardless. Moreover, for murdering a Jew, the punishment is the same whether a Noahite does it or a Jew does it. The Noahite is put to death through the sword, and the Jew for murder is also put to death by the sword. As for the case of adultery, a Noahite is put to death by the sword, while a Jew would be put to death through strangulation. Strangulation is an easier form of execution. So the Noahite has incurred a death penalty, which is worse than the one that would be incurred by the Jew, so therefore he can certainly be put to death by the easier one. The legal situation has not really changed in executing him, except in so far that he is given an easier form of death. So since here the essential legal status has remained the same, so therefore he can be punished. While in the former cases of blasphemy, idolatry, adultery with a Gentile married woman, and so forth, there is a drastic change in not only in the status of the person, but also in the status of the penalty incurred through the offense. Halacha hey. Kvar be'anu, we have already explained in the preceding chapter, Shekol Mitzvah B'nei Noach, that any execution of Noachites is besayos, is by means of the sword. Elo, except for in Boal Eishes Yisrael, if he committed adultery with the wife of a Jew, who was not yet married, but was in the status of Naro Ma'eroso, a betrothed maiden. Then the Noahite is not executed by means of the sword, but Yisokel, he is stoned, the same as a Jew, because that is an offense which the Noahite would not be guilty of if he had done so to a betrothed maiden that is a Noahite herself. But this is forbidden only vis-a-vis Jews, and then just as a Jew would incur the death penalty through stoning for that offense, so likewise the Noahite. And likewise, in Bolo Achash Nichnaso Lechupo, if he committed adultery with a Jewish woman who is married, after she has entered the wedding canopy, in other words, she has gone through the wedding ceremony, but before the marriage was consummated by her husband, then Yehoneik, he is put to death by means of strangulation. Again, here the same as a Jew, here he gets an easier form, because as we learned earlier, a Noahite would not incur the death penalty for committing adultery with the wife of a solo Noahite before her marriage had been consummated. Halacha Vav, Mipi HaKabbalah, by tradition it has been learned, Shebnei Noach, that the descendants of Noah, in other words Gentiles, Asurim are prohibited, the habuas behemo, of mating animals of different species, ubarkovas ilon, and grafting trees of different kinds. But this is a prohibition bilvad, just that alone is forbidden to them. Ve'ein erogin aleihen, but they are not put to death for violating these precepts. The goy shiko Yisrael, if a Gentile strikes a Jew, afilu choval boy kolshehu, even if he inflicts but a smallest, the slightest wound, then afpi shuchayv miso, though in effect he deserves the death penalty for it, ein nerok, he is not put to death. Meaning, he has incurred the death penalty, he has committed a capital offense, but not a capital offense in the sense that a human court is to tie him and put him to death and execute him, but death penalty incurred through heaven, that he will be punished through heaven. Halacha Zayin, Hamilo, circumcision, Nistavobo is a command given to Avrom the Zaroi Bilvat, to Abraham and his descendants exclusively. Shneema, as it is said, Ato you vezaracho acharecho, and your seed after you. Yotzo zaro shel Yishmoel, but even of the descendants of Abraham, Ishmael and his descendants are excluded from this precept. Shneema, as it is said, Ki beYitzchok yikore lecho zora, for in Isaac shall seed be called to you, which means only in Isaac, but not in Ishmael. Then later, the Yotza Esau, Esau, the son of Isaac, was excluded. Why? Shari Yitzchok Omar LeYaakov, because we find that Isaac said to Jacob, the Yitzchok Lecho is Birkas Avraham, and he shall give to you the blessing of Abraham, Lecho to you ulezaracho, and to your seed. Miklau, this implies, from this we can infer, Shehu Levadoi, that he, Jacob alone, is regarded as Zaro Shel Avrom, the seed of Abraham, Hamachasik Bedosoi, who adheres to his faith, Ubedaka Yoshoro, and to his righteous way. The Haim and these, enumerated, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his seed, they are the ones, Hamechuyovim Bamilo, who are bound to practice the precept of circumcision. Halochoches, Omu Chachomim, the sages said, Shebnei Keturo, that the children of Keturo, the wife of Abraham, whom he married after the death of Sarah, Shehem Zaro Shel Avrom, these children of Keturah are the seed of Abraham, Shebo Achar Yishmael V'Yitzchok, that came after Ishmael and Isaac. In other words, the children of Keturah were born after Ishmael and Isaac, after the Torah had already excluded Ishmael from the precept of circumcision, and therefore they, who have not been excluded, Chayomim B'Mila, would be obliged to practice circumcision. The Hoyuvin is Ovu Hayoim B'nei Yishmoel B'nei Keturah, and since nowadays the descendants of Ishmael have intermingled with the descendants of Keturah, and again, as we just said, the latter are obliged to observe circumcision, according to Rambam, therefore Yishayvu HaKol B'milo Bashmini. Therefore, not only the descendants of Keturah, but also the descendants of Ishmael would nowadays be obliged to observe circumcision on the eighth day, as the precept was given to Abraham, because they have now really become like one group, the descendants of Ishmael completely intermingled with those of Keturah. But they nerogin oleo, though we say that this is an obligation incumbent upon them, nonetheless they are not put to death if they have failed to observe it. For obviously, the obligation is not clearly incumbent upon the descendants of Ishmael. We do not know precisely to what extent and who, as individuals, are from this intermingling of these two families. And for a doubtful violation of an obligation or omission of an obligation, we do not put to death. Halacha Tet. Goy she'osak b'Torah, a Gentile who occupies himself with the study of Torah, chayef misal, is guilty of the death penalty. As Rambam will soon define at the end of this ruling, we are not talking here death penalty to be executed by the court, but death from heaven. Lo yasak elo b'sheva mitzvos shelahem b'vad. He is to occupy himself only with the seven precepts incumbent upon the descendants of Noah, and no more. In other words, he can't preoccupy himself with the study of what these seven principles are, the specific laws and rulings and details, the various aspects thereof, but nothing beyond the Noahide code. The Chayna likewise, Goy Sheshovas, if a Gentile keeps a day of rest, afilo b'yoymi moisachoyol, not necessarily on our Sabbath day, but on any one of the weekdays, imosohu le'atzmoy k'mo Shabbos, if he sets aside or sets apart any day during the week, like the Sabbath day, chayif miso, he again commits a capital offense. Again, as I said before, capital offense here means he incurs death from heaven. No need to mention that the same would apply if he sets apart for himself a festival, like a yontif, a new festival. The general principle of this whole matter is that we do not permit them to introduce new innovations of a religious nature, and to devise commandments for themselves of their own accord. Elo, but they have but the option of either to be a ger tzedek, a righteous proselyte, a convert to Judaism, via kabel kol mitzvos, and accept all the commandments of the Torah, or yamet betorosoi, he should remain and stick with his religious tradition, in other words, with his obligations, neither adding nor subtracting from the obligations incumbent upon him by virtue of the Noahide code. These are the only two options. But to start a new religion and to start adopting a new precepts and claim or give them some religious nature, that is prohibited unto a Gentile. If nonetheless he still busied himself with the study of Torah, or Shovas, or he set aside a Sabbath day, or Chidush Dovah, or innovated anything else of a religious nature, Makin Oisai, the Oinshin Oisai, we flog him, and he is to be punished, or Maidin Oisai, and he is to be informed, Shuchayif Niswalzei, that he is deserving of the death penalty for his actions. Aval Einoi Nerok, and here Rambam has this, he is not put to death by a court. Halacha Yud. Ben Noach, a Noachite, Sherotzo, who wishes Lasis Mitzvah to do and perform any Mitzvah of the Torah, Mishol Mitzvah of Torah, from the other commandments of the Torah, meaning exclusive of the study of Torah and the observance of a Sabbath, and he wishes to do so kedei lekabel schar, in order to receive a heavenly reward, then ein moinin oisoi, we do not prevent him from lasoiso, to do so, to perform that precept keilchoto in proper fashion, even the way the Torah prescribes it. Provided though, of course, that he does not adopt it as a duty incumbent upon himself, that he feels that God wants him to do that, but he does so voluntarily of his own volition, merely as a good, meritorious deed. Vimhevi oilo, if he wishes to bring a burnt offering to be sacrificed in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Holy Temple, mekabli mimenu, we accept it from him. Nosan stoko, if he gave for charity, mekabli mimenu, it is accepted from him. The Yeroeli, and Rambam says, it appears to me, Shenoisnin Oiso, that this contribution of the Noahide is distributed, Lani Yisrael, among the poor of Israel. Yisrael. Why? Because the who nizon Yisrael? Because he himself, the Noahite, who is a ger toshav, a resident alien, who has adopted and undertaken to observe the Noahite code, so he himself is sustained by the Jewish community, and it is a duty incumbent upon Jews to sustain him. So therefore, it's a mutual relationship, and his money can therefore be distributed even amongst the poor of Israel, thus giving him merit, giving him his hus. Aval Hagoy, but any other Gentile who has not undertaken to observe the Noahide code, Shenosan Stoko, if he contributes to a Jewish charity, Mekabli Mimenu, we accept it from him, but the Noisin Oiso Lamie Goyim, but that contribution of his will be distributed amongst the poor of the nations, in other words, amongst non-Jewish poor people. Underlying this ruling is the principle that Jews are not to accept charity from heathens, from those who do not at the very least observe the Noahide code. But in order not to aggravate the heathens, we will accept it, but will not use it for our own purposes, but use it to distribute amongst the needy of the Gentiles themselves. Halacha Yud Aleph. Hayovin Beisim Shal Yisrael Lasos Shoistim Lo'elu Hagerim HaToshovim. The court of Israel is obliged to appoint judges for these resident aliens, in other words, for the Noahites. Lodun Lahem, to judge them, al pi mishpotim elu, according to these laws enumerated and defined in this chapter earlier and the preceding chapters, in other words, to judge them and govern them according to the rules and regulations applying to Noahites. In order that the world be not destroyed, meaning in order that there be not anarchy and disorder among them, that there should be a moral order according to which they will conduct themselves. In Rol Beis Din, if the Jewish court sees fit Yamidu Shefteyem Mehem to appoint judges for them from their own midst, Mamidim, they will do so. In other words, if there are amongst the Noahites themselves people knowledgeable and suitable to act as judges in these matters, they will be appointed. But if the court will see fit to appoint Jewish judges for them, Mamidin then will appoint those. Halacha Yud Beis. Shnei Goyim Shebo Lefanecho. If two Gentiles come before you, Lodun Bedine Yisrael, to be judged according to the laws of Israel, Verotzu Shneim Lodun Din Toro, and both of them wish to be judged according to the law of the Torah, Donin, then we judge them accordingly. If, however, Ho'echot Roitze, that only one of them wants this, Ho'echot Einer Roitze, and the other one does not want this, Ein Koifinoisa Lodun Elo Bidineim, we can compel them only to have their case judged according to the laws used and applying to the Gentiles. In other words, we can force them to go to a Gentile court, but we cannot compel them to go to a Jewish court to be judged according to Jewish law. Hoya Yisroel Regoi, if there's a litigation between a Jew and a Gentile, Im Yesh Chusle Yisroel Bedineim, if the Jew can be vindicated according to their laws, in other words, the Gentile laws in the Gentile court, then Donin Loi Bedineim, then the case will be judged according to the Gentile laws. The Oimrim Loi, and they say to the Gentile litigants, look here, Kach Dineichem. This is your law, this is the way they practice law and adjudicate cases in your court. If the Jew can be vindicated by our law, then Donin Loi Din Torah, then we will judge them according to the law of the Torah, because the Jew is entitled to be judged according to the law of the Torah. The Oimrim Loi, and then the Gentile litigant is told, look here, Kach Dineinu, this is the way we decide according to our laws. And the Rambam has, Begeroi Li, it is feared to me, Shein Oisin Kein Leger Toshof, that we do not follow this principle in a litigation with a resident alien, one who has accepted the Noahide code. but they will only be judged according to those laws applying to them themselves, and not according to Jewish law, even if one of the litigants is a Jew. And it also appears to me, says Rambam, that we must conduct ourselves with resident aliens, in other words, with Noahites, those who have accepted the Noahite code, but their heretz, with the consideration, ugmilas chasodim, and the performance of kindness to Israel, that is due likewise to a Jew. Shari onu mitzuvin lachayosom, because after all, we are obligated to sustain them. Shneimar, as it is said, lager asher bishorecho titneno, you shall give it unto the stranger, referring to the resident alien, that dwells in your gates, vaholo, that he may eat it. In other words, a ger toshav, a Noahite, was accepted to live according to the Noahite code. We have to show in consideration and respect and kindness, the same as to a Jew. Vezei she'omu hachomim, as for what the sages said, that ein kreislin lohem sholaim, that we must not double greetings to them, says Rambam, this refers to begoyim, this refers to heathens, to Gentiles who have not accepted the Noahite code, loy beger toshav, and not to the resident alien, to the Noahite of whom we have been speaking about in the last several chapters, that he has accepted and he does practice the seven precepts given to the descendants of Noah. On the other hand, afilu hagoyim, but even with respect to the heathens, in other words, those Gentiles who do not observe the Noahite code, tivu chachomim, the sages commanded us, levake choleim, to visit their sick as well, the lichboi meiseyem imeisei Yisrael, and to bury their dead along with the dead of Israel, ulefarmes aniyeim, and to maintain and sustain their poor, bichlal aniyei Yisrael, among and in the midst or together with the poor of Israel, v'knei darkei sholeim, in the interest of peace. Harenema, because after all, it is said in Scripture, tov Hashem lakoil, God is good to all, the rachamov al kol masov, and his mercies are over all his works, all his creatures. V'nema, and it is written in another verse, trocheo, her ways, the ways of the Torah, dachei noyam, are the ways of pleasantness. The whole Nesivah Seho and all of past Sholeim are peace. So therefore, we have to pursue peace, we have to seek peaceful relationships with all, not only within our own nation, but also with the Gentiles, even if they happen to be Gentiles who are not observing the Noahite code. We have to show kindness and consideration there as well, as Rama mentioned, with regards to the social activities of visiting the sick, burying the dead, supporting their poor, and so forth. Procheo dachi noyam, the whole nesivot seo sholaim, her ways, the ways of the Torah, the ways of Judaism, are ways of pleasantness, and all the paths are peace. So much for chapter 10.